Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Joining us for the Culture Club tonight, maybe our youngest ever person to be inducted into the Culture Club, but he is a superstar at the age of 24, having emerged as one of Ireland's most compelling new artists. He blends folk, classical and contemporary influences into his sound. His debut single, Solace, became the most streamed debut by an Irish artist since Hozier's Take Me to Church. Over 125 million streams on Spotify, 25 million YouTube views, and 6.6 billion views on TikTok. Jamie Duffy, I hope that was all monetized for you, was it?
Well, we're getting there. I'll say that. But it's crazy statistics indeed.
You're a folk classical composer. You have a new single out, Rising, yes, from the album. So why don't we just listen to a little bit of that to get an idea of the music you do? Lovely, Jamie. Tell us a little bit more about your influences.
A very eclectic sort of mix of influences have kind of informed my music from the very beginning. I'm from a very musical family, and so those sort of grassroots influences in the sort of folk background and the traditional Irish music background kind of set out a base. And then when I went on to kind of discover what I actually love to listen to, I think from the ages of, you know, 10 or so onwards, that kind of then informed what I wanted to create as well and what I kind of wanted to make. And I think that my influences are kind of, it's kind of like Ireland classical music with a sprinkling of popular music kind of blended into one.
And what sort of training have you had?
Well, I mean, I have had a very casual training. I didn't do any of the conservatoires or any of the fancy universities. You know, I went and my piano teachers were all local women and brilliant women who instilled in me a love of the music. And I learned at the Trinity College London sort of syllabus or the Royal Irish Academy syllabus, but in a local setting, you know, with teachers who kind of did it on the side.
This is in County Monaghan,
is it? This is up in Glasslough in Monaghan. But I failed my grade 6 piano on my grade 7 piano.
You're kidding.
So. No, not at all. I think with those things, there's a lack of room for creativity. So that's where I kind of had a bit of a downfall.
Yeah, over the last year, you supported the likes of Andrea Bocelli and Hans Zimmer, who's famous for so many movie scores.
Yeah.
And you failed your grade 6 and grade 7.
Yeah.
That's an inspiration to everyone who's struggling with the piano, perhaps.
I'd like to think so. You know, my main motto in all of this has been, you got to make your own kind of music, as Mama Cass sings so beautifully. And that has always been something that I wanted to do. And it's kind of regurgitating classical music is that we had to do in that setting of the exams isn't something that I kind of adapted to pretty well. It's kind of like learning Irish. Really, the Irish language, the way it's taught, doesn't really, you know, a lot of the times make students or make people like me who were learning it, like I was learning piano, love it and want to do it. So I think that I think we got to get a little bit more creative with it and look at it.
Okay, and I believe you also now have done your first movie soundtrack, have you?
I just finished that, yeah, 2 months ago. It was actually due the same week my album was due to be submitted, so a crazy few months, but finished first.
What's the movie?
It's called 500 Miles with Bill Nighy and Claire Dunne and Maisie Williams. and with a brilliant director. And
when you're doing the soundtrack for that, I mean, do you watch the movie and then sort of try and match music to the visuals and the words you're seeing?
Yes, well, honestly, I didn't know what I was doing until I actually was doing it. So I was asking myself the same question. But yeah, I was sitting down and looking at an unedited version of the film and talking with the director, because, you know, what I try to do with all my music is tell stories. But for that, you know, my own music is kind of gluttonous in the sense I can make what I want. But I was writing and creating music for somebody else's baby and somebody else's project and trying to tell their story. So that was an interesting and a new thing for me. But I loved it, and it was a gorgeous experience.
Brilliant. Now, people might be thinking on the back of this that we're going to be getting lots of classical and things after your choices, but that's not what it's like at all in your Culture Club choices, particularly the first single that you remember buying.
Oh, goodness.
Robbie Williams and Candy.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Well, you know, I think that the beautiful thing with my sort of my picks, I guess, and beautiful to me, I suppose, and I steer away from my genre, and I do not listen to music with my own genre. Candy is, I was looking back at my my iTunes and what actually was the first single I bought, and that was on iTunes, and it was Candy by Robbie Williams, and it's just a great pop hit. And I remember being really young and listening to it and thinking, isn't this just a banger? And it's a great melody, and I think with all good music, you have to have great melodies.
Let's hear a bit of it. Robbie Williams and Candy. Now tell us about your favourite album by Lana Del Rey.
Yes, I discovered Lana Del Rey pretty quickly after that, and it's Born to Die, the Paradise Edition.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about the album. How old is this, and what was it about it that really grabbed you?
This was Lana's first album, and this is an album that was burned onto a kind of I think it was an MP3 player or something at the time for me, very much illegally. But anyway,
like you used to do a lot, apparently, wasn't it?
Apparently, yeah. Well, there was about 800 songs on there. My dad's mate at work about 15 years ago. But anyway, it is an album that I went through all this music and I came across this album, and really it stopped me in my tracks. And from that moment onwards, it has been, and I think will always be my favourite piece of body of work ever. I think it showed me, you know, if you listen to that album, so many wonderful orchestral sort of arrangements, so many strong, beautiful and ethereal melodies. I mean, her voice, Lana's voice, is like nobody else's, and her lyricism as well. And I think this album to me was one of the main reasons that I wanted to become a musician. And I think a lot of my music today is informed by that album, subconsciously and both. As a reference.
Let's hear a little bit from Lana Del Rey's Born to Die, the Paradise Edition. Let's hear a bit of Summertime Sadness.
Kiss me hard before you go. Summertime sadness. I just wanted you to know that baby, you're the best. I got my red dress on tonight, dancing in the dark in the pale moonlight. Throw my hair up real big, beauty queen style, high heels off, I'm feeling alive.
Okay, Lana Del Rey there, Summertime Sadness. Now, favourite band? You have nominated a band, although you also tell us that you prefer solo acts really to bands.
Yes.
Why?
I really don't know. And when you asked me this question and I really started trying to dig for it, there are many bands that I adore and I think are brilliant, and Fontaines would be up there, and Amble currently, and obviously ABBA. But I was going through all the music that I listened to, and I was going through the bare facts of it and what I've actually been listening to, and it is, for the very most part, solo artists, and even more so solo female acts. And I think for me, my main acts, or my main artist of all time, probably would be Enya. And she is kind of somebody that I would take so much inspiration from, and she has informed a lot of my music. And I think because she has got that such an ethereal sound and an all-encompassing sound, but also she's got a background not too dissimilar from my own, and I think that's something that I have kind of had a connection with for a very long time.
Although you did give us a band when we pushed you and you went for Fontaines DC, who you've seen play live.
Yeah, I was at uni up in Belfast, and I think it was 3-4 years ago now, and Fontaines were playing the Ulster Hall, and I convinced all my friends to go, and I actually, one of the members of the band, Conor Curley, is actually up from Glasslough, nearby Glasslough, he's from Tighall and neighbouring villages. So I have known about them for a long time, and their sound is so fresh, and so it's just, it's soundtracking so many people like myself's lives at the moment, and I think they're just doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And
well, let's hear a bit of Fontaines DC. This is from 2024 album Romance. This is Favourite. Fontaines DC with Favourite. Jamie, you've given us quite a few gigs. Not surprisingly, Lana Del Rey at the Three Arena, CMAT at Electric Picnic. But tell me about Dustin O'Halloran, who you saw at Union Chapel last year. Tell us about both of the venue and the artist.
So Union Chapel is this incredible chapel in central London. And if you've been in it, or if you've seen it, or if you don't know it, more so to the point, it's quite Hogwarts-esque, and it's very ethereal and gorgeous inside, and it's a dream venue of mine to play. But I went, and when I was scoring this film this year, I went to see Dustin O'Halloran play there. And he's a composer, not too distant from the type of music I've been making myself. And he is just a wonderful composer at that, and so fresh and so modern in what he does. And he's so many wonderful stories that he tells. But he did this gig at Union Chapel, and I was up in the balcony, up in the kind of the up real high in the chapel. And it was just one of those gigs that was so sensory. In the sense of the lighting, the speak, the music, the textures in the music, the audience just so attentive. It was just one of those gigs that you come out of and think, goodness, that was just a moment in time. That was just complete magic. And for myself then as a musician, it kind of bucked me up real quick. And I was like, okay, it's time to up the game here.
We don't have any Dustin O'Halloran from Union Chapel. We do have him, just to get a taste of his music, live from Capitol Studios in 2024, Spiritus Naturae Aeternus.
Thank you.
Okay, that is Dustin O'Halloran. Jamie, what he does, what you do, is this almost keeping classical music alive for modern generations by merging it with other things?
I think so, and that's a great point. And, you know, I look at my own listener base on Spotify when I can go on and look at the stats, and for the very, very most part, the listeners are under the age of 35, for my own listeners. I think that speaks to how classical music really isn't something that should be, you know, allocated to a particular type of person or a particular group of people, and it shouldn't feel boxed off for anybody. And I think for me, when I mix it with the trad background or the folk background, and then I sprinkle that bit of, you know, pop over it, and just that hunger for a melody, a great melody, I think that opens it up to a new world of people. And I think that the beautiful thing about this music as well is there's no lyrics for the very most part of it. So this will mean something different to every person who listens to it and inspire them to think and to imagine a different way. And that's what I try to do anyway. And that's what I think this genre is really good at.
Movie, tell us about some of the movies that you loved.
Yes, well, when you asked me again, I had to kind of dig for the answers here. And I kind of came, there were three films really that kind of I settled on, because there's been movies that I've enjoyed that have all kind of meant different things, and I've loved them for different reasons. The first one was a very, very lighthearted film called The Last Holiday. It's a Christmas kind of movie, and it's got Queen Latifah in it. And solely because it reminds me so much of my childhood and being home in Monaghan at Christmas, RTE played the bejesus out of this film when I was younger. And so every time it would come around at Christmas time and we'd watch it, and it's a gorgeous, fun, lighthearted story.
You also have Call Me By Your Name?
Yes, a beautiful, beautiful a film with Timothée Chalamet. He was one of his, I think it was his breakout role, really. And for that, really, it was all about the music for me. You know, it's set in rural Italy, but Sufjan Stevens has a massive part to play in the soundtrack, and he's a wonderful musician. So that music really kind of inspired me after I watched that film to make my own sort of cinematic sounds.
And your third choice is a movie about an Irish journalist who was a very good friend of mine who was murdered 29 years ago, before many years before you were born. Mm-hmm. Why have you picked Veronica Guerin in the movie?
I picked this film because I seen it accidentally, and I think I was about 12 or 13, and I watched the film, and I just had to watch it again pretty quickly after, because it obviously it's a film, but it opened up Veronica's own story to me. And then I was reading and studying about Veronica, and from her story and her background and her just hunger to tell truth and to tell a story, I kind of found this affinity for current affairs and for politics. And I think I was coming into that age of just kind of being aware of the world around me, and being from a border region up on the border in Glasslough, and just that story really resonated with me and Veronica's story, and indeed she is, and that film was really one of the reasons that I went on to study politics in Queens in Belfast.
Okay, let's go to musical. Your favourite musical is The Wizard of Oz. Why so?
Because, very personal story again, in transition year I got my breakout role as the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. I went to Beechill College in Monaghan, a brilliant school, a creative school, and they gave me, I remember I was up on the Eiffel Tower when I got a phone call. I was on holidays saying, oh, do you want to be the Tin Man? And I thought I'd won an Oscar at that point for our local production. But it's such a brilliant musical, and it was just that first kind of feeling of, okay, this is being on the stage, being an entertainer, being under the kind of the spotlight of the stage, and the hustle and bustle of backstage and prepping for a show. That was something that I really, really enjoyed. And from that, I kind of then always had at the back of my head, oh, what if I could do this for a living? But unfortunately, I didn't follow it immediately after I left school. I did do the politics, but I came full circle now. So The Wizard of Oz has been at the base of all of my entertainment career, I guess.
Let's have a clip from the production from the West End, live in 2024. This is Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah. if happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow. Why, oh why, head high.
Okay, not your production, Jamie and T.Y. Euron Monaghan from the West End.
Not too dissimilar.
Okay, what do you read? Favourite book?
Well, this is a question that I had to again kind of dig for, because I never asked them that question to myself, what was my favourite book. But I went with Irish Fairy Tales and Folklore by W.B. Yeats, a very, very old book. And one that I actually only read very recently. My father, he had it, I think, from his days at school. And I was moving to Dublin and I took this book up with me. I seen it on the bookshelf and I took it up with me. And I remember moving to Dublin May 2024 last year. And it was a beautiful, beautiful couple of weeks. And I sat out in Mount Argus Park and I went through this book and I read it over the course of 2 weeks, and it is just that sort of the beautiful element of the culture within it all, and those stories of like the Pooka, for example, you know, and being from a rural part of the world, a very dark, you know, darkly lit part of the world, you know, there's stories of Pooka at nighttime and, you know, going, coming out of the hedges and stuff like that. And it kind of then, when I went home to Monaghan and I thought about this book, I was nearly kind of like terrified to go on a walk at home. And because when you're in Monaghan, it's very, there's very little light pollution. So you're very much aware of the culture. And this this book very much kind of, I guess, was something that was in my psyche since I read it. And beautiful stories, some terrifying and some gorgeous stories about our own folklore and our own history. And I think it's, I'd recommend it to anybody to read.
Television. No. Yes. You're not that far out of childhood, so you're not having to go back too far.
No.
Given that you're only 24. But growing up, what was it that you really loved?
Well, this might sound ridiculous, but the staple television programme when I was growing up was Poirot with David Suchet. And I say that because I used to stay with my granny's once a week. And she would have that on every time I stayed there. And we would religiously watch Agatha Christie's Poirot. And I there must be hundreds of episodes that I've seen, and it was just, I mean, the music in it, the just sort of other old world sort of feel to it, this, it just reminds me of a coziness of when I was, you know, very young with my grandparents in Monaghan. And it's so funny because I was on a tube recently in London, and it was like really late at night, and I looked up and who was in front of me? Only David Suchet. And I probably seemed like a weirdo. I was staring at him. I thought, am I going to say something? But I didn't. I didn't have the guts to say anything to him. But it was a lovely moment.
Okay, well, we have him in a scene from Death on the Nile from 2004 with Emily Blunt, actually, in it as well.
But she is perfectly within her rights.
I'm sorry, did you not see the way she behaved just now?
Well, she did not actually threaten you or cause you any bodily harm. No, evidently she is very much aggrieved, madame.
If you're implying that I stole my friend's fiancé, then I assure you, you're wrong. She loved him, yes, but her feelings were not reciprocated. Even before he met me, he knew he'd made a mistake.
But was there not a moment when you realized that you had a choice? You have everything. But your friend, from what I understand, had him only. No, pardon my impertinence, madame, but I suspect you are feeling a little guilty.
Couldn't you at least try to reason with her?
Madame, I am on holiday.
I'm sure that we can come to some kind of arrangement.
No, madame. I am sure we could not.
Bit of Poirot there. And recently, I think one of RT's big investments is something that you've really enjoyed. Kin, tell us why.
Yes, Kin. And I was late to the game with Kin. But I started watching it on a Wednesday, and I was finished by the Friday, I think. I just binge watched it, and I'm not quite sure why I loved it, but I it was one of those shows that I was left afterwards googling when's the next season coming out. It was, I think, again, I think crime TV is just such an interesting world and a fascinating one. And I mean, Poirot and Kin, they're in the same umbrella, I guess, but a million miles apart. But brilliant actors, brilliant, brilliant plot, and again, an insight into, obviously a fictional insight, but an insight into the underbelly of cities, I guess.
You know, there was one music thing I forgot to ask you about earlier. Tell me about Björk DJing in Iceland.
Oh, yes. My first, so this album was produced in Reykjavik, and I spent a lot of time up there. But on my first ever visit to Reykjavik, I ended up in the cellar of a nightclub / record store, and there were about 20 of us, and Björk just appeared and did this DJ set of the most insane music you'd ever heard in your life.
Good.
Brilliant. It was just such a... It was crazy. It really was like going to a pub in Dublin and going downstairs and Enya was there on the decks and you're just like, what is this... Is this a stereotype or what? But it was a wonderful experience and one that I think many people would pay a lot of money for, but I only paid a tenner, so.
And very finally, buried treasure. You've decided to go for a poem, Child of Our Time by Evan Boland. Was this on your Leaving Cert curriculum?
Yes, this is Evan Boland's poem, Child of Our Time, and it was on my Leaving Cert. But she wrote this poem inspired by the Dublin Monaghan bombings. And obviously, I live in Dublin, I'm from Monaghan. So this moment I read it first, I connected with it, and it's just, I think, a very true to time poem, and it speaks to a lot of what's going on today. And it's a beautiful poem, and I think the last line is, "Child of our times have robbed your cradle. Sleep in a world, your final sleep has woken." And I think those are beautiful lines, and it's a poem that everybody could learn from. And I think Yvonne, she's not with us anymore, but she was a beautiful writer, and she left a great mark on poetry in Ireland.
You're making your own mark of music in Ireland. Congratulations on the self-titled debut album. Sure, we'll see lots of you over the years and hear your music in lots of movies, hopefully, as well over the time.
My fingers are crossed.
Jamie Duffy, thank you so much for being with us. The Last Word on Today FM.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.